First, before starting, I would like to offer my gratitude to my spiritual master and the previous acharyas. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasati Gaura Bhaktavinda. Nama Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namine. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharini Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Desha Tarini. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare Hare. So I welcome all of you for today's seminar, Attitude of Gratitude. Can all turn this side and come towards me? So the first thing which I want to discuss today is, what is attitude? You all must have heard this term attitude, especially in college. What is the usual impression? Who is most popular in college? Somebody who's got attitude, right? You have heard this? He or she has got attitude, then he is very popular, right? And who is the person who's got attitude? What is he like? Somebody who's very bold, very hip, very cool, right? And mostly he or she is very aggressive about bluntly expressing her views, isn't it? Is that right? What attitude means? If anybody's got attitude, means he's very blunt about his views. But let us discuss today what actually attitude means. Next slide. I'd like to ask you all a question. If you release a black balloon, will it go up? If you release a black balloon, will it go up? Yes, right? Why? What is inside that matters, right? It's what is inside the balloon which makes the balloon go up, whether it's black or any other color, isn't it? So let me tell you a story in this regard. There was a lady called Sandy. This happened in America. She was a very simple lady with a 4-year-old daughter, and like many, many people in America, she was also a single mother struggling to maintain her daughter and somehow making two ends meet by doing odd jobs. And in America, the list, you know, to have a very comfortable life, television, microwave, and all these things, and cars, and all is something which is necessities. But for her, these things were someday, maybe someday I'll have them. It was like last on her list. And what was most important for her was, you know, nutritious food, and warm clothes, and a good apartment, and medical facilities for her child, and, you know, for studies. These were the priority for which she was struggling to make two ends meet. And this is common in America. There are so many single mothers struggling like this. But what was unusual about this lady? Her name was Sandy. What was unusual about Sandy? It was her outlook towards life, her attitude. Because she always had a smile on her face. And if anyone asked her, "Don't you feel bitter that you are always struggling to make two ends meet, your children, you know, your child is deprived of so many things which a normal American child, you know, gets. Don't you feel bitter about it?" Saying, "What should I be bitter about? Are we freezing or are we starving? No. And anyway, what can money buy? All the things that money can buy, you know, ultimately, what is most important, you know, is something which you can keep." She said, "There are three things which I know which actually belongs to me and which I can keep and nobody can take it from me. What are those three things?" First, she said, "My experiences in life." And her experiences were very simple. Her experiences were a walk in the wood with her child, or spending or play, playing a puzzle with her child, a quality time which she spends with her child was her happy experiences in life. And second was her friends, which sincere friends whom she collected in her life. These are the three important things. And what is the third thing she said? Is what we grow inside of us. So they asked her, what do we grow inside of us? What is that? Saying, it's up to us what we grow inside us, isn't it? See, if I want, I could be miserable. Huh? I could be frustrated with life. Or I could be just depressed with such difficulties that I'm facing. But I'm choosing not to. Saying, how is that? So what is it that you're growing? You're not growing frustration. You're not growing sorrow. You're not growing sadness. Then what are you growing? She gave a warm smile and she looked into the eyes of her daughter and her eyes were bright, shining with tenderness, joy and gratitude. Saying, I grow this within myself. So this choice is in our hands, what we grow within us. Just like this balloon, what is important is what is inside, not the externals, right? Whether it's a red balloon or a blue balloon or a green balloon or a black balloon. What matters is what is inside, not what is outside. So from this we learn that whatever situations we may be put in life, externally they may be either a success or we are a failure. Either the situation is happy or we are miserable. The situation is miserable. But it doesn't matter what is the external situation. What really matters is what is inside. And that something is attitude. What is inside of us. So let us see what is the meaning of attitude. Attitude denotes a sense of mind, a state of mind. Attitude is actually a state of mind, mood, viewpoint, outlook or belief. This is what is the meaning of attitude. But unfortunately, today's young crowd is getting totally opposite. It's completely in the opposite direction, isn't it? It's completely opposite. Anybody who is very blunt about his views or tries to throw his weight around or just is basically mod or hep is considered a person with hep and he becomes the most popular. But attitude is something more deeper than just the external aspect. Isn't it? It's not an external aspect of our personality. Attitude runs more deeper. It is something which comes from within. Just like this example, depends on the attitude. Like you know, you have heard of David and Goliath. Goliath was a big giant who attacked. And David was a tiny child. He was just a small boy. And Goliath was challenging everybody, you know. Goliath was challenging. Come on. Why don't you stand up and fight me? He was challenging David. And all the others were telling, no, you cannot do it. David, just don't you see he's too big? He's so huge. You'll never be able to hit him. He's too big to hit. And David said, no, he's not too big to hit. He's too big to miss. That means there's so much of him that I have a wider scope to hit. That means this. He was not seeing the problem like how others were seeing. That was his attitude. So we understand that it's not the external things that actually affect a person. It's actually how a person, you know, perceives the problem. That is what is important. There's a funny joke in this regard. Once, while traveling on a boat, a very thin, delicate man was sitting next to a very huge, muscular person. And this thin man asked for the time. He asked the huge man, what is the time? And the man, in a very angry way, he just banged his head on the head once. And he said, 1 o'clock. Saying, why did you hit me on the head? You could have just said the time. Saying, and all the others were so upset, you know, how could he just oppress a weak person like this? And they said, why don't you scold him or shout at him? Why did he do such a thing? Why don't you protest? And he said, why should I protest? I'm just grateful to God that I didn't ask him 1 hour back. So that means his perception of the whole problem was totally different from what others think. So this is what is important. The attitude is what is from within, not what is external. So this is what we have to aspire for, to get that kind of attitude. Actually, we have seen in today's corporate world, the word attitude has become more prominent than other things like knowledge and degrees and so many things. In fact, a study was done in Harvard University. And in this study, it was found out that the criterion for getting a job or getting a promotion was that it depends 85% on the attitude of the person and just 15% on whether he has that knowledge and the intelligence of the facts and figures about, you know, his field. So this is the amazing study which was done, that how is the attitude of a person, like under stress or under problems, on the face of crisis, on the face of difficulties, how a person reacts and how a person accepts is what determines the attitude. And this is what people are looking for today. Just like a big building, a huge skyscraper, what is the basis of that skyscraper that it should stand safely is the foundation, right? Like for example, this Calgary Tower, it has got a total height, I mean it's very huge, and the weight of that is 10,884 tons, and of which 6,349 tons are below the ground. That is the foundation of that whole tower. That means 60% of the whole tower. You can... Next. You didn't do this. Sorry. Huh? I thought you were seeing this. Attitude. A study was done in the Harvard University that a person gets a job or a promotion because of his attitude, 85% of because of his attitude, and only 15% because of the intelligence and knowledge of facts. Okay, so this is the attitude, is the foundation. Basically, we see that for a building to remain sturdy, the foundation has to be strong. So only then a building is strong. Similarly, if we want to build our life, we have to build our life based on very strong foundation. And that foundation is attitude. So our success or failure in life depends on our attitude, what we develop in our life. How we learn to face our problems and with what attitude we approach our problems. That is what is important. For this regard, I would like to explain to you a story. Once a daughter... Next slide. You keep clicking. Next slide. Yeah. Once a daughter goes to a father and says that I'm fed up with life. I'm having so many problems. I'm having so many problems and so many difficulties. I'm actually depressed in life and I don't know whether I can go on in life. I'm just bogged down with so many problems. Please help me. Her father was a chef working in a hotel. So he quietly took her to the kitchen and gave her three things. Potatoes, eggs, and coffee beans. And he told her to take three vessels and put them on the gas and put each of these things in the vessel and boil it. And without speaking, he just let these three things boil for about 20 minutes. So for 20 minutes, the potatoes, the eggs, and the coffee beans were boiling in water. And then after 20 minutes, he asked her to put the gas off and he asked her to look inside the vessel and he asked her, what do you see? See, I still see the same thing. I see potatoes, I see eggs and I see coffee beans. Now you touch them. So she took out the potatoes and he asked her to peel the potatoes. And the potatoes were soft inside. He asked her, when you put it inside, it was hard. But now after the treatment, it has become soft from inside. And the eggs were thin inside before. But after boiling, they became hard. After removing the skin, the inner thing was hard. And what happened with the third thing, the coffee beans? He asked her to put it in a glass and drink it. And she tasted the syrup and it was totally, a smile came on her. He's saying the coffee beans, you know, instead of any change, the change in the coffee beans was unique. It gave its fragrance to the whole whole, water in the vessel. So he told us, so what? Which one do you want to be? Do you want to be like the potato? Do you want to be like the egg? Or you want to be like the coffee beans? The same kind of problem, the same kind of treatment was given to all three. But all three reacted in different ways. Isn't it? So in this way we can see that so many difficulties will come upon us in life. But it depends on what our attitude is. Does our heart become hard, soft? Or does it become hard? Or does it take out a completely unique thing out of it? And out of that same difficulty, we can create a unique situation. You know, we can improve the whole situation or learn something from it. Just like the coffee beans, it gave something unique to the whole. It gave a new unique flavor to the whole water. So similarly, it is in our hands which kind of attitude we want to accept in our life. So thus we see that attitude is the basis of our character. And it is the foundation of our character on which we can build the building of our life. And of all the attitudes, the attitude of gratitude, which today we are going to discuss, is the mother of all. Or by having the attitude of gratitude, we can develop all the virtues. So let us see what does gratitude stand for. According to the dictionary definition, gratitude or grace, they both share a common origin. And that Latin word origin of that word is a Latin word called gratis, which means pleasing or thankful. Gratitude is a universal human experience that can be either a random occurrence of grace or attitude chosen to create a better life. So gratitude is this quality of gratitude is not just a feeling or not just a verbal expression, but it is a way by which we can create a better life. Let us see some quotes on gratitude. Next. Gratitude is not only the greatest of virtues, but the parent of all others, Cicero. To be grateful is to recognize the love of God, Thomas Merton. A proud man is seldom a grateful man, for he never thinks he gets as much as he deserves, Henry Ward Beecher. And the last is, gratitude does not mean getting what you like, but liking what you get. This is where attitude comes about, the attitude of gratitude. Because we know that in this life, in this world, we do not get always what we want, isn't it? In fact, most of the times we never get what we like or what we want. But by developing this attitude of gratitude, we should learn of one thing. That is what? Liking what you get. And understanding that whatever I get is by the grace of God. This is the attitude of gratitude. Next slide. But to understand what is the meaning of gratitude, we have to hear from the scriptures of what is the qualities of a grateful person and what is the quality of an ungrateful person. The quality of a grateful person is he's always contented and satisfied. An example from the Shastra is like Sudama. You've heard of Sudama and Krishna? If you see from the external point of view, Sudama was a very, very poor Brahman. He was in such a miserable condition that he had no food to eat and even his children were starving. But still he was happy and satisfied in whatever God had given him. But only when his wife asked him that you approach Lord Krishna for some help because he was your childhood friend, that's why he approached Lord Krishna for some monetary help. But he was so satisfied within himself that he couldn't even ask Lord Krishna till the end what he actually wanted. In fact, he was so overwhelmed by the love and, you know, the wonderful reception that Lord Krishna gave him. He was so grateful to the Lord for that wonderful love that he showered upon him that he even forgot to ask what he actually needed. And in the end we know that Krishna showered upon him all the riches of the world. So thus we see a grateful person, his heart is contented and satisfied. He does not have any desire to acquire more. Next, you can click all. But on the other hand, an ungrateful person is never contented. Isn't it? Why is he never contented? Because he feels he doesn't have enough. There's a story of this man. He was a man who was very attached to land. In fact, for land, he was fighting with his brothers, fighting with his villagers, you know. He was just wanting to acquire land. That was his single most goal of life. And he was so mad after land that one day when a visitor came in traveler came to his village and said that nearby a king is offering fertile land for free. He just jumped at the, you know, at the chance, and he just went to the neighboring village and he approached the king and said, I want land at any cost. The king said, yeah, you can get as much land as possible. How much ever land you want, it will be yours. But there is a condition. We'll give you how much ever land you want, whatever you cover by walking. As far as you go, that much land will be yours. But there is one warning I will give you. But by the end of the day, you should reach back at the starting point. Before the sun sets down, you should come back to the starting point. Only then that land will be yours. So he says, fine. And he started running, walking. Every time he thought that he's enough, I have to reach back, he would see another fertile piece of land and again he would start running, you know. He would keep going. He was not just contented and satisfied and grateful for what he's getting. He would just go on running ahead and ahead. And finally when he decided that, okay, now I have to get back, he started running back to go back to the starting point, and just few seconds before he reached the place, the sun set and he fell down dead out of exhaustion. And the king said, so one more goes. That means everyone till today, everyone was doing the same thing. That means this is the nature of man. Unless he is grateful for what he gets, what he has given by God, he will never be contented and satisfied. The next quality of a grateful person is he is never proud and he is always humble in any situation. Just like yesterday, we celebrated Narasingha Jayanti. An ungrateful person is very proud and he thinks he deserves more. The perfect example of this is Prahlad Maharaj and Hiranyakashipu. Bhakta Prahlad, though he was a small boy and he was facing such difficulties, his father was giving him so much, you know, so many punishments. But on the face of that, he was always humble. Whereas Hiranyakashipu, he had the entire world at his beck and call. He was so proud, but still he thought that he deserves more and more and more. And because of that, he was always so arrogant. The next example is a grateful person always appreciates others and an ungrateful person never appreciates and he only finds faults. Grateful person is always happy and blissful in any condition. An ungrateful person, he is never happy and always sad and morose. To explain these two points, I'd like to tell a story about a farmer and his neighbor. This farmer had a neighbor, she was an old lady. And there was a big difference in their attitudes. This farmer would wake up every morning and greet every morning with good morning God. And the old lady would wake up and look at the morning and said, good God, morning again. This was a difference in their attitude. Then every day he would wake up and he would be fresh and happy and she would be, you know, morose and down. And both of them, one morning he went to her and said, look up at the sky. So beautiful the sky is. Did you see such a wonderful, glorious sunshine? Sunrise? Did you see the sunrise today morning? It was so beautiful. And she said, yeah. And if the sun continues shining like that, all our crops will get burned and to ashes just by the heat of the sun. He just sighed and went, you know. And then the next few months there was rains, and there one afternoon there was a wonderful shower of rain, and he was so grateful for the rain, and he went to her and said, "See, did you see God has showered our crops today and has given all our crops a nice drink?" And she said, "Yeah, and if it doesn't stop, then we would be cursing our luck that why we didn't take flood insurance for our crops." And then again he got so fed up with her that every time he tried to give her something, this, she would just become so frustrated and she could never see anything good. So finally he thought, to change her hard attitude, he thought of something, I should do something extraordinary. So he went and got a dog which was simply extraordinary. He knew such wonderful feats which no other dog could do. And he called her one day and said, "Come and see my new dog." And she said, "Yeah, okay, I'll come." And he threw a stick on the lake, and the stick fell far off on the lake, in the middle of the lake. And now he told the dog, "Go and fetch the stick." And the dog just went running after the stick and actually walked on the water and got the stick back. And then saying, "So, what do you think about my dog?" And that lady said, "Huh, your dog can't swim, can't he?" That's all she could say. That is the difference in the attitude that both of them had. So we see a grateful person is always happy in any condition, and an ungrateful person, even if the best thing is happening, he will still be unhappy. And a grateful person can appreciate, even the small things in life. And an ungrateful person, even if a most wonderful thing happens, still they will just be able to see the fault in the situation. So thus we can see that gratitude can play such an important part in developing our attitude towards life. So this attitude of gratitude is one of the foremost qualities which we should try to develop. So let us see the power of gratitude. How many times have we ever, how many of times do we express, like this woman, she couldn't, even appreciate the sun. But we are in the same situation, don't you think? Like that old lady. How many times do we express gratitude towards the sun for allowing us to, for giving us light and air? How many times do we express our gratitude towards the earth for letting us live on it? How many times do we express our gratitude to water for quenching our thirst? And how many of us say thanks to flowers for making us happy? All of us take these things for granted, isn't it? So many things in our life, such wonderful things are happening. From the time of our birth till today, we have to be grateful to so many people and so many things, isn't it? Starting from who? Our parents, for bringing us into this world. In fact, the Shastras also say that we are always going to be indebted to three people in our life, whatever we may do. Even if we express our gratitude by words, but still we will be indebted to three people. That is our parents, our gurus, the spiritual teachers who teach us the message of God. And last is the great acharyas, or the spiritual great saints, who by their life and example, they teach us how to be grateful to God. We will never be able to fulfill this debt ever in our life. But how many times have we ever expressed our gratitude to God, to our parents? The only thing we think of is, "Oh, why did we get such less pocket money?" Isn't it? We are not grateful to our parents for so many other things that they are giving us. But we get stuck up on these small, small things which we don't have. And instead of expressing our gratitude to our parents, our teachers, and our elders, we just get stuck up on small things which we don't have and remain unhappy in our life. So many blessings they are showering on us. But unfortunately, we are not able to see our blessings that we are getting in our life, because we take them for granted. That is the nature of an ungrateful person. We take all the things that we are getting in our life for granted. Ungrateful person thinks, "In fact, I deserve this, and I in fact deserve more than this. Why only this much?" That's the nature of an ungrateful person. But we are all unfortunately falling in that category. That instead of understanding the amount of things, so many things our parents, our teachers and our elders have done for us, or all the situations in life that we have learned so many things, instead of seeing the good, we are just seeing the faults. That is the problem in us. And we unknowingly, we don't appreciate the blessings that we are getting. So I'd like to read this, Count Your Blessings. This is a wonderful poem. Today I stood at my window and cursed the pouring rain. Today a desperate farmer prayed for his fields of grain. My weekend plans are ruined. It almost makes me cry. While the farmer lifts his arms and blesses the clouded sky. The alarm went off on Monday and I cursed my work routine. Next door, a laid-off mechanic feels the empty pockets of his jeans. I can't wait for my vacation, some time to take for me. He doesn't know tonight how he'll feed his family. I cursed my leaky roof and the grass I need to mow, and a homeless man downtown checks for change in the telephone. I need a new car, mine is getting old. He huddles in a doorway, seeking shelter from the cold. With blessings I am surrounded, the rain, a job, a home, though my eyes are often blinded by the things I think I own. So by this we learn that unless we develop this attitude of gratitude, one day we will take all our blessings for granted and we'll become blinded by all the things that we are getting and not even realizing the importance and expressing our gratitude, and very soon we'll be, you know, regretting that we have not been able to express our gratitude to our parents, our teachers and all those people who helped us in our life, if we take all these things for granted. So thus we should learn to count your blessings every day. We try to remember all those people who have helped us to, you know, come up in life or helped us in some way to make our life better. Next slide. So it's in our hands what we choose. Do I choose to be grateful or do I choose to be ungrateful? So gratitude is a choice. From the time we are born, our parents have been teaching us. In fact, this is one of the golden words, is thank you, isn't it? It's a golden word. Thank you. They have taught us that if anyone does anything good for you or gives you any gift, when you go for a birthday or if anybody gives you a gift for your birthday, the first thing which you should say is thank you. So gratitude can be categorized into two sections. Polite gratitude, when somebody gives you a gift, does you a good turn, you may say thank you. You express it verbally by saying it, thank you. That is just polite gratitude. But there is something more deeper which we should know. And that is profound gratitude. And what is profound gratitude? It is that gratitude that someone might feel, a person whose kidney has failed and somebody has donated a kidney, who has got an organ transplant. For him, that kidney has given him a new lease of life, has saved his life. For such a person, will he say just thank you? Is thank you just enough for... Okay, you saved my life. Thank you. That's not enough. Gratitude goes more deeper. It is profound gratitude. A person who saves your life, you know, you'll express that gratitude in a more deeper and in a more meaningful way, isn't it? And that is what today I want to express, I mean to tell you about. What is profound gratitude? In Christianity, there is a festival which they celebrate called Thanksgiving. It is celebrated on the last week of November, just before the month of December starts. The last week of November, and on the Thursday of the last week, they celebrate this Thanksgiving. And the history of this Thanksgiving festival is very interesting. As we all know that Christopher Columbus, he discovered America. He was looking for India, but he discovered America. And And after discovering America, the first settlers who traveled a long way from Europe, about 100 people left Europe in a ship and they took a very long journey to come to this promised land as it was known. And when they landed in America, which was not America at that time, when they landed there, of the 100, only 55 were alive, because the journey was so difficult, it was so arduous, that on the way they lost so many people to hunger, starvation, illness, disease. So many people died. And these 55 who landed, the first thing that they did when they landed was they all came together and they organized this Thanksgiving feast. And they, whom did they offer their thanks to? They offered their thanks to God. And they thanked Him for saving their lives and helping them to reach the place. They could have lamented, they could have been frustrated, they could have been miserable for all the people whom they lost. But they chose instead to express their profound gratitude towards God. By gratitude towards God for saving their lives. So they saw the positive, they saw the good in the whole situation, and they were able to express their gratitude to God. This is what is profound gratitude. That's how the whole festival of Thanksgiving started. So we have a choice. Whether we choose to be grateful or we choose to be ungrateful. Today I can complain because the weather is rainy, or I can be thankful that the grass is getting watered for free. Today I can feel sad that I don't have more money, or I can be glad that my finances encourage me to plan my purchases wisely and guide me away from waste. Today I can grumble about my health, or I can rejoice that I am alive. Today I can lament over all that my parents didn't give me when I was growing up, or I can feel grateful that they allowed me to be born. Today I can cry because roses have thorns, or I can celebrate that thorns have roses. Today I can mourn my lack of friends, or I can excitedly embark upon a quest to discover new relationships. Today I can whine because I have to go to work, or I can shout for joy because I have a job to do. I can complain because I have to go to school, or eagerly open my mind and fill it with rich new tidbits of knowledge. Today I can murmur dejectedly because I have to do housework, or I can feel grateful to the Lord that He has provided shelter for my mind, body and soul. So in every situation of life, we have this choice whether to be grateful or not to be grateful. So it depends on us, what choice we make. Next slide. As we all understood that gratitude or profound gratitude is something more deeper than just a feeling that you may have, or a verbal expression like a thank you say, but it is more deeper than that. Gratitude is an action. If you really are grateful, you'll want to do something, isn't it? You would like to express your gratitude by some act, isn't it? Our parents, all of their lives, they have given for us. You know, they work so hard to provide for us, to teach us, give us knowledge, and then see that we are settled in life. At the end of our life, can we just say thank you to them and go our way? Is that what we do? No, right? If you are really grateful to your prior parents, you will do something for them, isn't it? It is natural. Thus, gratitude is not just a verbal expression. Just like love, when you want to show your love, you have to do something. You have to serve that person to express your love. Similarly, gratitude is not just empty words. It is an action. If you really love your mother, what you would do? When she's sick, you'll do all the dishes, right? You'll wash all the dishes, you'll cook the meal so that she gets some rest. If you are really grateful for your mother, for all that she has done for you, when she is in pain, you'll massage her back. You'll do some action to express your gratitude. Isn't it? Just by saying thank you is not enough. That is not real gratitude. Thus we learn that gratitude is something which you express in the way of some act. And that is what makes your gratitude genuine. Next. All throughout the scriptures, any scripture you take, Bhagavad Gita or Bible or the Quran, the quality of gratitude is glorified. As it is said in the, as you read in the quotes about gratitude, gratitude is the parent of all other qualities. It is the beginning. If a person is grateful, all other virtues, all other good qualities will automatically come in the heart of a person who is grateful. And all the scriptures, in all the scriptures it is said that a grateful person or a grateful heart is the heart in which the seed of love of God will fructify. Now tell me one thing. Even if you have the best quality seed, if you put it in a barren land, if you sow it in a barren land, do you think you'll get any yield? No, because the land is barren. Even if the seed is very good, but it will not fructify. Similarly, if our heart is barren, if our heart is not grateful, it is like a barren land. And the seed of bhakti will never, bhakti or love of God or devotion will never take fruit in such a heart. In all the scriptures, gratitude is defined as a spiritual quality. It's a quality of the spirit soul. And in Bhagavad Gita, the Shastras, especially our Vedic Shastras, proclaims that all the things that we receive, all the things that we get in this world, like the food that we eat, the water that we drink, everything is coming from God. In fact, there's a shloka in Bhagavad Gita which says that Krishna is saying that Aham Bija Pradapita, I am the creator and I am the maintainer and the provider of everything that you get in this world. He is the one who is providing everything. We may be getting food from our parents, we may say, but where are they getting that? Unless the rain falls, even the food will not be available, right? We'll not get the grains unless the rain comes. And who is giving the rains? God, isn't it? About the different seeds, unless we have the seeds, how will the crops grow, isn't it? And who is providing all these seeds? God is providing. And if there is no sun, how will these crops grow? How will they give the fruits? But who is giving this sun to us? God. So thus we see that in all the scriptures, this fact is proclaimed very strongly, that everything is coming from God. How we are grateful to our mother in this life, our mother and father, for doing so much for us. So how much more should be our gratitude towards God, because He is the one who is giving us everything. Isn't it? He is the source of everything. He does not only feed the ant. An ant is such a tiny creature. And how much does the ant need to eat? Just a grain of rice is enough. A grain of food is enough for the rice, for the ant. Whereas in the jungle, there are huge elephants who eat tons and tons of food. But we see in this world that the ant is also, each and every ant is provided for, and even the elephants are provided for tons of food. So who is providing for them? God is providing the food to everyone. So how much more grateful we should be to God, who is actually the source of everything. And thus today's lecture, as we have learned, that gratitude, if you really feel grateful to God for giving us everything, then gratitude is not just expressed only by lip service, only by some verbal expression, thank you God. But if you really feel grateful from your heart, you would like to do something for the Lord, isn't it? You would like to serve the Lord in some way. That is the real meaning of gratitude, to serve the Lord. This is the real expression of our gratitude. In fact, we see from the Shastras that God himself is the most grateful person. He is showing by his own example, like how we see in the story of Krishna and Sudama. Krishna was so overwhelmed by this simple small offering of Sudama. He gave just a small palm full of rice, you know. And he was so grateful to Sudama for that, that instead of that, he showered him with so much love and he showered him with so much, riches. That is a quality of gratitude which God himself exhibits. And he says in Bhagavad Gita, Patram Pushpam Phalam Toyam Yome Bhaktya Prayachati, that if a devotee offers me with love and devotion just a little water, a leaf, a fruit, a flower, and just for such a small offering he is ready to offer himself. So you can imagine how grateful the Lord is. And another example, wonderful example of the Lord's gratitude is the example of Putana. Though she came to actually kill the Lord, but she fed him her own milk. And in reciprocation for that, he was so grateful to her that she came and fed me her milk, that even though she came to the intention of killing him, but he gave her the position of the nurse in the spiritual world. After she was dead, she was liberated and given the position of his nurse in the spiritual world. That's how the Lord reciprocates in gratitude. So you can learn from the Lord himself how we should reciprocate with the Lord. Every day people get up and just lip service, they say, just join their hands in front of God, offer some nariyal or some flowers, and they feel, okay, I have fulfilled my debt to God. This is just part-time devotion. If you really are grateful to God for everything that he has given, you should show by your actions. Isn't it? And Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, how you can, please him. How can you actually repay or show your gratitude? He just says one thing, that all that you do, ad yat karoshi yad ashnasi, yad jihosi dadasi yad tapasyasi kaunteya tat kuruswa mad arpana. Just do it as an offering unto me. All that you do, all that you eat, all that you offer and give away, you do it as a offering unto me. Just like somebody, if a servant is there in your house, you keep him as a servant and every day he cooks food, and before offering to you, first he will put the whole plate nicely, serve himself on the plate and he'll eat himself, and then he'll bring whatever is remaining in the bartan and give it to you. Would you think that this person is grateful for, for employing him? You'll feel, what an ingrate. He's such an ingrate. I am doing so much for him, I am giving such a good salary, I am feeding him, I am giving everything, and before giving me, he is eating. Isn't it? But what are we doing? We are getting the grains from God, and to make the grains grow, the rain is coming from God. The sunlight to make the grains food grow is coming from God. But what we do? We nicely take all the vegetables, fruits, everything, cook it nicely. And first thing what we do, we eat it fast. When we are hungry, you don't think, you don't look left, you don't look right. Straight you just start eating immediately. What would you think of such a servant? Would you tolerate him? Tolerate? So we are doing like this from time immemorial. That is how we have been expressing our gratitude to God. Without even remembering before we start eating. And a simple thing, God is telling us in Bhagavad Gita, you can express your gratitude to me just by offering all that you eat. It's not that he is going to eat up everything and you will get an empty plate. God is so merciful that if he is satisfied just by a leaf, he is just satisfied by a drop of water. He doesn't need that whole food. But as a love, you express your gratitude and your love towards God by first offering whatever you eat. If you don't offer and eat, and you just eat without, if the servant doesn't offer, what does he become? Does he remain a servant? He becomes a thief. Without offering the owner of the house, without telling, without even informing, you first take something, then you don't remain a servant, you become a thief. So we are all like thieves. If we cannot even express our gratitude to God by offering what we eat to God before we eat, then we are all like thieves. So a simple way, the beginning of our life from today, to just develop this spiritual quality of gratitude, the first thing we can start doing is that at least whatever we eat, as soon as we take the food in our hand, first remember that this thing is, this whatever I'm eating today is coming from God. That's what the Bible say. Huh? We thank you, God, for the daily bread. Whatever we eat today, that's what the Christian prayer is. Oh Lord in heaven, we thank you for the daily bread that you are giving us. So this is how we reciprocate or show our gratitude to God. And that is the beginning of our gratitude. Only if we are grateful to God, we will be able to express our gratitude to man. And another thing what we can do is to show our gratitude towards God is by chanting His glories. How can we show our gratefulness to God? Is by chanting His glories. He is giving us so many things. The least we can do is appreciate Him for that. And what is the meaning of chanting? Chanting is kirtan. What is the meaning of kirtan? Huh? Kirtan means chanting the glories or kirti of the Lord. So by chanting the glories of the Lord, we are actually expressing our gratitude to the Lord. And the third thing which we can do to express our gratitude, which will be most pleasing to the Lord, is by telling others about God. Telling others about the glories of the chanting of the Lord's holy names. Making others realize that how God is the one who is providing everything to us. And He is the person who is maintaining us. And He is the only one who will, you know, save us at the time of death. By making everyone realize the greatness of God, we are actually expressing our gratitude by action. In this way, we can make our life totally a life of gratitude and an expression of gratitude to the Lord. Next slide. Thus, in conclusion, we see that gratitude toward God is the foremost. We are grateful to our parents, we are grateful to our teachers, we are grateful for all the people who have helped us in our life, but all that gratitude towards all the people will begin first when we realize our gratitude towards God. That is the most important thing in our life. By expressing our gratitude towards God, we can express our gratitude towards man. Only a grateful heart can attract the mercy of the Lord. Only if your heart is grateful, it is soft. And only when the heart is soft, the seed of bhakti can fructify. And the last thing that is important is that we can show our gratitude to the Lord by chanting His holy names and by accepting prasad. These are the two actions which we can do to express our gratitude. As we learned that gratitude is an action, not just lip service. So we see this quality of gratitude or this attitude of gratitude is actually a quality which we all should strive to develop in our life. Strive to get in our life. And this attitude of gratitude will help us to get over all the problems in life and make us see all the problems in the real light and learn from all the problems and the difficult situations from our life. And in every situation, we will be able to remain happy. So thus we see that this attitude of gratitude is a medicine. Is a medicine that is free, without harmful side effects, totally free of additives, a plentiful natural resource and always there when we look for it, and it is timeless. It has no beginning or end. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
So are your hearts filling with gratefulness for such a wonderful lecture delivered by Sita Mataji? Actually, when you hear from a person who is practicing in their own lives, it penetrates.